Welcome to Crossbody at Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And this week was an interesting week for us.
For those who can't tell by the sound of my voice, one, thank you. But two, I am dying.
Yeah, Javier is super sick, but he's pushing through. Yeah. He truly is doing his MJ flu game.
I don't get sick very often. I get sick once every 18 months.
Yeah.
And when I do, I either get over it in a day or two, or it's a year. And it's looking long because it's been since pretty much Sunday night.
It's been a long, cold winter already. And for those who are wondering, we record these on Thursday. And since we record these on Thursday, that means this is our first recording since we had a real blow up on Instagram. It is at almost 3 million views at the time of recording, where we put a clip of EOSKY doing the wonderful trash can jump onto everybody from War Games and Survivor Series with the glorious audio of Joshua Johnson, a.k.a. Mace Awindu, on Instagram and TikTok doing his singing of Higher by Creed.
Can you take me higher?
Great song. That post is one of my favorite posts of my friend group. We throw it in the group chat once every 3 weeks, probably. The original being he's singing as the ice from the mop bucket is getting shattered and going through the sky. It's great.
Oh my God, yeah.
So if you have discovered this podcast for the first time because you now follow us on Instagram or have seen us on YouTube now, one, welcome. We cover wrestlers through five matches to get a whole cross-section of their career. That's why the podcast is called Crossbody of Work. It all makes sense. We're happy you're joining us. We've been doing it for a while, so you can check back in the back catalog. We have done a ton of wrestlers before, so go back. We have this is episode 193, so
point of this podcast. We have a lot of episodes.
We have a lot of episodes. We've been doing it. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening to us from the beginning, hey, we got our Spotify Wrapped as well this week. If we're in your top five, tag us on anything. Yeah. On Instagram. Tag us there. Tell us on Twitter.
DM us.
Privately. Like, hey, I don't want to be public, but you guys are in my top. That's fine. We'll be your sneaky link.
It's five people, so I know it's not my mother.
Yeah. So five people have us number one, and 11 people have us in their top five, so we know you're out there. Let us know, and we will appreciate it. We'll shout you on the pod. I'll share an embarrassing Spotify rap moment from my past before, which was, I guess that was 2021 or 2020? 2021. Every single of my top five songs was from Inside by Bo Burnham. So clearly, I was going through it.
Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't share it publicly.
I think last year mine was Kanye. No, it was Kendrick.
Oh, see, that's fine. You can't share the Kanye one, though. Because a lot of people had it last year where they listened to Kanye at the beginning of the year, and then he went off of the deep end.
Well, I mean, he's been doing that for the last, 8 years.
That's true. But it got really bad. Anyways. This week on the podcast, we are looking at a viewer suggestion. Our boy Crispy Crisp on YouTube suggested that we cover Ayako Hamada, and so we went ahead and covered Ayako Hamada, and we knew nothing of this wonderful wrestler.
Yeah, I had no idea who this person was. Now that I have gone back and watched her matches, I maybe saw her in Impact and 2010s, maybe. I don't really remember. But aside from that, there's just no shot I would have ever really watched her matches, because I don't know. It she falls into a weird category for women's wrestlers where she's a Joshi, but she's also a luchadora.
Yeah, she's a luchadora. She's Joshi. She is the daughter of Japanese professional wrestling Gran Hamada. Which is a name that we have heard before. Everyone knows who Gran Hamada is. This is his daughter, yeah.
Yeah, well, her older sister wrestles then. Yeah. Gran Hamada has another sister. She's the one that's married to, she used to be
Pentagon
married to...
Pentagon Dark.
Yeah, no, it's Black, isn't it?
Pentagon Black, Black, yes.
Yeah, the other Pentagon. And then
Silver King.
I know she was married to Dr. Wagner Jr.'s brother.
She was married... to Silver King, and then now it's married to Pentagon Black. And that is her sister. I always am bad at this name. It's the name that starts. It's X-O-C-H-I-T-L.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like, it's, oh, I'm not, I'm going to embarrass myself on the podcast. Like,
Chiro?
It's like Chochil or something?
I think it's, I don't know, Choro? Chiro?
Xochitl, apparently. Xochitl. There Xochitl? We go. Thanks, Google.
Okay. I don't know. Google. I'm Dominican. I'm not Mexican. I don't know how to pronounce Mexican names. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm mayonnaise colored. All right. So Hamada was born in Mexico City, Mexico on Valentine's Day 1981 and debuted at the age of 17 against Candy Okutsu on August 9, 1998. And she debuted for the Japanese promotion Arcyon, which I have never heard of either. She received a big push immediately and won her first title, the Twin Star of Arcyon Championship, in June 30th, 1999. So less than a year after her debut. Yeah, crazy stuff. She then was going for the Queen of Arcyon Championship on December 3rd, 2000. That's our first match against notable name. And I, honestly, at this point, friend of the pod because of how often we like to go to her matches.
It's scariest woman ever.
Scariest person I've ever seen with my own eyeballs, Aja Kong. That's our first match.
Yeah. My first note here before I even started playing the match was Hamada might die.
Correct. Hamada is not a big person.
No.
And Aja Kong is a big and scary person. Hamada listed at 5'4", 140. So.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She's about
it's
to
also like. Here's the thing. It's Aja Kong. I feel as she gets older or like gets more into her career.
Yeah.
I feel like she not only slows down a bit, but she gets more stiff. So it's like if you get Aja Kong after like 96, like I'm sorry, you had a bad time. It's probably a great match, but you had a bad time.
You
during
had a
it.
Very bad time. Hamada, like I said, is 19 years old, going against one of the greats of just wrestling. Don't have to qualify. Don't have to say Japanese wrestling. Don't have to say women's wrestling. Wrestling.
She's so good.
Crazy that she's here and crazy how much she holds her own. This match slaps.
Yeah. This, I am going to say, is my recommendation for the week.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to go ahead and watch this now before listening to the rest of the podcast, it is my recommendation for the week.
Absolutely. And if you're wondering, all the links for these, fullpresswrestling.com. The links are also in the link for Full Press Wrestling is in the show notes as well. So you can go check that out there. There's no commentary for the match. Arcyon, no commentary, I guess.
I didn't notice.
The mat is squeaky as hell, as that you can tell as they are doing a test of strength. Kong obviously wins the test of strength because she's
oh my
huge.
God. And then she just starts like, she does a big like, she just like big bodies her. Early on, she starts no selling chops. Like she, Hamada tries going with like rapid fire chops, kind of, and then Hamada,
absolutely
or,
no effect.
Aja Kong just decided, "Fuck this, I'm no selling," and then just, yeah.
Aja Kong essentially started with light work, no reaction. Like she was just like, "No, I'm fine." Like there's nothing
she's
you're doing.
Absolutely, she just hoofs the woman with a chop. Like at one point, I think it's the second of the bunch. The second chop, I literally was like, "What? Like that would kill Gunther."
Yeah. There's also a drop kick by Kong that nearly sends Hamada clean out of the ring. Like she didn't like regroup. Like she got just like you had to leave. Now it's like getting ejected from a bar. There's also a nasty looking crab. The single leg crab by Kong looks good. And then she turns it into a double leg, and it puts Lion
She's
Tamers to
sitting.
Shame.
She's just sitting literally down. Sitting on her back while she has the freaking the boss crab on. It's terrible. And then she like picks her up, like pretty much almost vertical on her head while still holding the two. Like brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And then she lets go when Hamada finally gets to the rope because she has to. And so what does she do in retaliation for her for Hamada having the audacity to break the hold? She just kicks her with the most brutal, stiff kicks you will ever see in a match.
There's a couple other spots here. Hamada gets a little bit of shine. She goes for a Hurricanrana, a few kicks to a seated Kong who just eats them. Then Kong hits a massive headbutt and a spike pile driver, does like the most lackadaisical cover, like just like lying down, like no hook of the leg, not even anything, just barely on top of Hamada. So Hamada kicks out. Hamada then tries to trade rights with Kong, and it's a trade that goes as well as the Panthers trading for the first pick last year. So it didn't go well at all. They may have traded for Bryce Young for DJ Moore, a couple other picks, and Caleb Williams.
Or Drake May, depending on where the chips
are. Or Marvin Harris Jr.
It's bad. It just keeps getting worse too. And I guess some of the other picks that they made in the mid rounds of last year's draft are actually kind of panning out too, which is even worse.
Yeah. It's a bad time.
So Hamada goes for a springboard moonsault, or she hits an enziguri into a back suplex. The back suplex looked rough for Aja Khan.
It did. Yeah.
And then she hits a springboard moonsault, like pretty much a lion salt, but off of the top rope.
Yeah.
And she Aja Khan gets her knees up. So immediately Hamada's back to selling. Aja Khan then decapitates this woman with like, I can't call it a short arm lariat because it's not, but it's basically a short arm lariat if she just didn't grab her.
Yeah. She just happened to be close to her. Kong or Hamada goes for an Asai moonsault. Kong instead has her drop onto a chair. This is at ringside. Hamada's going for a moonsault off the middle rope, the Asai moonsault. And Kong just moves like she Samoa Joes her essentially, but instead of hitting the ground, she hits a set up chair, which is not good for anybody. Later on in the match, Kongo's gloves off, what goes to the finish. And you'd think Kongo and gloves off dominating this whole match, you'd think the finish is that she finally puts Hamada out of her misery, but she doesn't. What happens?
So right before gloves off, she Hamada fires up. She like starts slapping her. She does a pair of freaking palm strikes that I was like, holy shit, like Kevin Owens got his nose broken by this shit by CJ Parker that one time, and she's just over here fucking doing it for recreational purposes. And then she eats the most brutal spinning back fist I've seen in my life and somehow kicks out, and I was like, what the fuck up? what are we doing here?
I can't believe it. I wrote like one of the nastiest spinning strikes I've ever seen fell as a charging Hamada, but then
she takes gloves off.
Yeah.
And she, like you mentioned, she goes right in, and Hamada somehow just literally out of desperation, because she knows if she eats one more spinning back fist, it's over. So out of desperation, she throws a spinning heel kick and she connects and immediately just goes, hits two more. And on the third one, Kong drops. And when she drops, Hamada goes down for a pin. 1, 2, 3. Ayoko Hamada beat Aja Kong after getting her ass absolutely handed to her for 18 minutes.
Having this be my first match I ever watched of Hamada, I was immediately like, oh, you know, I see the babyface, you know, charm. I get it. The selling was great. A surprise victory. I knew she won the title. I didn't realize it was this match.
I didn't even know that. So I was genuinely shocked. I thought she was just going to lose. I thought there was going to be like a baby face, you know, fire up at the end. She hits her finisher. She hits like a couple big moves, and then she gets really close near fall. And then eventually Aja Kong is just going to hit her with a spinning back fist or like a closed arm lariat. And she's just literally not going to be able to kick out.
Just going
to
collapse.
So exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hamada would then go and wrestle in Japan and Mexico, because Hamada is, she is both Mexican and has some Japanese heritage. Like, she's both. So she
That's Grand Hamada, who's
she
a
would
Japanese
wrestle
wrestler.
In both places, which is very cool. Wrestled for AAA, wrestled for WWWA, wrestled for Hustle, had a variety of different places. And then on April 8th, 2009, it was announced at a press conference that the April 19th Ito Dojo show would be her last match in Japan because she signed with TNA. On August 6, 2009, Jeremy Borash announced on his Twitter page that Hamada would be starting with the company after Hard Justice. And then she made her debut on the August 27th edition of Impact, defeating Daphne in a no DQ match in her very first match. This is a very interesting pick. I always forget that Daphne was in TNA. I knew
a no DQ match?
We'll get to it.
We don't want to talk about Daphne's TNA run, is why.
That's fair. So here's a weird thing, because we're going to talk about her going for the knockout tag team championships in a second. But I want to talk about this story that's on her Wikipedia. On the December 10th episode of Impact, Hamada was granted a TNA Global Championship shot by Kevin Nash, who was in charge for the evening. Now, Javier, what do you know about the TNA Global Championship?
For some reason, my mind—well, I don't, because my mind went immediately to Global Force Wrestling, which is like, yeah, they got bought by TNA at one point, but not this early.
Not this early. That is also the first thing I thought of. But the Global Championship is a traditionally men's title in 2010, when intergender wrestling really hadn't been a thing for a little bit. There was a definitely lull. Like, it was like Attitude Era. It stopped for a while, and this is during the stop period, and then it came back.
Yeah.
So she had a match against Eric Young, which I find fascinating, because Eric Young was claiming that he wanted to have her in his stable, which was called World Elite. Hamada apparently dominated the match, but Young was able to retain the title by putting his feet on the ropes. So let's look at Hamada going for a different title. She is going for the TNA Knockout tag titles alongside Awesome Kong against Taylor Wilde and Sarita. This is January 4th, 2010, Impact. If that name or that date sounds important to you, it's because you have a very good memory. What's the January 4th, 2010 Impact, Javier? Do you remember?
It's the one where they went up against Raw for the first time. 3 hours. Hulk Hogan debuted that night. Oh, God.
Sean Waltman debuted, a.k.a. X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac debuted. There was basically just WCW came to TNA.
Yeah.
It was not fun. I didn't like it at all. Let's talk about the good thing here. So Awesome Kong, we've done an Awesome Kong episode.
We have. Yeah, she was born a Haas month.
Yes, she's great. Incredible wrestler. Taylor Wilde, I read the name and I remembered her, but I don't like remember her, if you know what I mean.
Like, I
look at that and I'm like, okay, yeah, I can vaguely picture this person, but I don't really remember them.
I do that I remember better like wrestlers, basketball players, football players. I do that with a lot of baseball players where I'm like, I know that name, but I can't remember like what you did.
You're like, I know Chuck Knoblaw.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Chuck Knoblaw in my day. Yeah.
Sarita, I'm very familiar with. Sarita's great. I do not know what happened to her after like her Impact run, but like she was really freaking good when she was in the Knockouts division.
Huh. Well, she's Sarah Stock. That's Sarita's name. And she was a trainer and a producer for WWE. That now she's with AEW.
Oh. Man.
Yeah, Sarah Stock had been a guest trainer for WWE for a while. And was a developmental trainer for a long time, but then she was furloughed at the beginning of COVID in 2020. And then she started in AEW as a coach and producer in March of this year.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
She was a hell of a wrestler, as we saw in this match. Anyways, so the match starts. It's the night WCW debuted in TNA. Hamada starts off with Sarita, and they just do some incredible technical work.
Yep.
To start the match.
It's fantastic. Great.
And then Taylor Wilde comes in, and they don't skip a beat. They keep going with the technical stuff, too.
True.
And it's really good. And then they immediately go to the back, and the Motor City Machine Guns have been laid out. And
this is one of the most pointless backstage cuts I've ever seen. Because here's the thing. If you're going to cut backstage during a match, one, it's always a women's match in the 2010s, because that's just the way it fucking was. But two, show me the attack. They literally just go back and just...
Well, the
like,
whole thing was that it was like a secretive, like...
Then just tell us. You don't need to cut into the match to show us Alex Shelley lying down on the ground. Just
Chris Sabin's just there.
Just tell us that they got taken out. It's bring Jeremy Borash like in. You hear him and he'll be like, "Oh, hey, like just Motor City Machine Guns have been laid out. We're trying to figure out who did it. That's enough. That's fine. You can do that."
Yeah.
So dumb.
Kong drops Sarita for a near fall. There are so many drop kicks by both Sarita and Taylor Wilde to Awesome Kong. And then they hit a tandem one that finally gets her down. And then they go to commercial.
Immediately to commercial.
Immediately.
And when we get back from the commercial, Hamada hits a really nice brainbuster. I really liked it a lot. Hamada hits a headbutt. She's taunting Sarita by bringing her close to Wild for the tag. Like, she's so close. Like, oh, look, you could tag your friend, but you can't reach because everyone has T-Rex arms in tag matches.
You know what's funny? I wrote here in my notes that Hamada wrestles like Tajiri now.
Oh, like, my God.
I got some big Tajiri vibes from her in this match.
Yes.
Like, she wrestled like a in the first match, she was like pure Joshi working underneath.
Yes,
100%. Like, we've seen so many, like Manami Toyota. Like, we've had people on this, Io Shirai. We've had people women that we've covered on this podcast who wrestle exactly like that. And then just seeing her there, like, yeah, she was wrestling like that. Seeing her here, I was like, she's even got the Tajiri pants on.
Yes. I can't believe I didn't put this together because Tajiri is one of my favorite, like, mid-card wrestlers. I fucking love that guy. Tajiri. He's the reason we did, like, I'm the reason we did a Tajiri episode on this podcast.
It's true.
It's a good episode.
Never gone that far.
Go listen to it. I mean, we can't talk. We've done a Midian episode, so, like, whatever. Everything's on the table.
We did René Dupri.
Well, that's your favorite.
Yeah. That's my guy.
You can usually tell who's pick. I feel like the people know by now. If you've been listening a long time,
they were in ECW, Evan picked them.
Yeah, if we're in New Japan, Javier picked them. And if it's René Dupri, you know it's Javier's pick. All right.
And if it's a big person, Evan likely picked
it's them. That means it's August. Kong tags in with Club Los Wilds back. We get a Codebreaker by Wild. And Sarita gets tagged in. Hamada hits a gigantic kick to knock her down.
She fucking super kicks the absolute hell out of her.
Yeah. We get some back and forth. And then, like, pretty much the finish is, like, the next important thing. Like,
yeah, this isn't a super long match.
No.
Kong sits down on Sarita, like, the, you know, she just, like, the Rikishi thing where.
Yeah.
And this Wild breaks
important
the pin.
To watch these on YouTube so you can see Javier's detailed demonstrations.
Wild breaks the pin with a drop kick. Hamada tosses Wild into the post, and then the finish is Kong has Sarita in like a powerbomb position. Like, she has her picked up in the powerbomb position, she just hasn't dropped her yet. Hamada goes up to the top rope, hits a missile drop kick. Kong brings her down for the powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. Kong and Hamada win the Impact Knockouts tag team titles, and I freaking love that finisher.
It's a really good finisher. So Hamada would have two runs with the Knockout tag titles. There was this one with Awesome Kong, and another one with Taylor Wilde as her partner, actually, funny enough. In October of 2010, Hamada returned to Japan and shortly afterward requested her release from TNA. After months of inactivity in TNA, it was reported on December 6th that the promotion had agreed to release Hamada and vacate her Knockouts tag team titles with Wild. Damn. We are going to take a break. When we get back, we see Hamada in another promotion, Shimmer. Back from the break, we are looking at Shimmer 43. Hamada has been a part of Shimmer since about, I think it's Shimmer 39, was there, or no, Shimmer had her first one in Shimmer 27, and then she came back for a set of tapings again. So pretty much since midway through Shimmer's existence at this point, she has been a part of it. And at Shimmer 43, she is tagging with Ayumi Kurihara against Madison Eagles and Sarah Del Rey. This match is outstanding.
It's such a good match. Bryce Remsford is the referee of this match. And Bryce Remsford needs his flowers.
Remsburg. Right?
It's Remsford.
Isn't it Remsburg?
Am I wrong? I've been living the last like 12 years of my life thinking that it's Bryce Remsford.
It is Berg. It is Berg.
Have I just like convinced myself that it's Remsford, and every time I hear them talking on commentary, it's Ferd?
Yes. Yes, you have.
Is there like is someone in the comments, please let me know if that's like a psychological thing that happens to people. Because I'm thoroughly convinced that Evan's lying to me right now.
I mean, people say things wrong all the time. That's part of the deal.
I thought his name was Remsford.
I have gone a long time. There was somebody I knew in university, and for a long time, I thought his name was different than. I'm not going to say the name because, I mean, he'll never listen, but it's fine. I don't want to embarrass myself. I thought his name was something entirely, like, not even close. Like, no letters in common. This wasn't like a Wordle in yellow. It was like all gray. Like,
you're
fucked
like,
up.
Oh, what up, Greg? And his name is like Jacob.
Yeah, he's like I'm Steven, and I'm like, oh shit, sorry bro. Anyways, we have seen Sarah Del Rey on this pod before. She's shown up in a couple of different episodes.
Can't wait for the Sarah Del Rey episode.
Yeah. Madison Eagles has not shown up on the pod before. Rare at this point to have people making their debut on the pod, truly.
Yeah. I mean, we're so freaking deep into this thing.
But Madison Eagles is the reigning Shimmer champion at the time. And both of them freak the fuck out when streamers get thrown during Kurahara and Hamada's introduction.
Madison Eagles, who I think at this point, what year are we in? 2011?
2011.
I think she was the PWI Women's Wrestler of the Year. She was number one.
I will look into that.
I'm pretty sure she was. I don't know if it's 2010 or 11, but she was around that range.
It is 2011. It's her and then
cheerleader Melissa right after that, I want to say. Shimmer was just like pumping them out. But Madison Eagles was incredible. I freaking love, I don't know what happened. This is another thing where like my low period kind of like started a little earlier than I like to admit most times. Because like I got very hands off, especially with the independent stuff, like just before like I actually gave up on wrestling as a whole. Yeah. So like I don't know what happened to Madison Eagles. Like at one point she was like I was watching wrestling. She was the most prominent female wrestler probably in the world, at least outside of WWE. And then suddenly, boom, I come back. I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you right now what happened to Madison Eagles.
Madison Eagles has been wrestling with Shine since 2013 to present, stopped wrestling with Shimmer in 2018, and really has just been doing the indie thing. And you're right, the Madison Eagles was number one in 2011, and cheerleader Melissa was not until 2013, actually. 2012 was Gail Kim.
Makes sense.
Another excellent wrestler.
Yeah, makes sense.
This is weirdly one of those matches that if we go bit by bit, like, we'll get too deep into the weeds. Yeah,
it's so... I have so many notes on this match. The match starts immediately with heat. Hamada and Kurahara immediately attack Eagles and Del Rey.
That's like, here's the thing. I know that Eagles and Del Rey are the heels here, but Kurahara and Hamada are doing heelish things at the beginning, not the rest of the match.
I also need to point out Hamada's like attire has slowly gotten more and more Chicano over the years. Like every match we go to, I'm like, yeah, this woman's Mexican. She gets more and more Mexican.
It's funny because when she's wrestling in Japan, she is, like you said, like the full Joshi. And then
Half Japanese. Like, it makes sense. As she goes more and more, she's just like, yeah, I'm fucking Mexican. Like,
how has your style changed as you've gotten older?
It's gotten significantly better. My mom showed me a picture actually literally last night. Actually, this is a good one. If you're not watching on YouTube, you should. Because I'm about to show a very embarrassing photo of myself when I was roughly 7, 8 years old, nine, somewhere in that range.
Don't worry, I'll pull one up too. We'll make it even.
No, mind you, it was very, the style was very popular in the mainstream. Okay. And I loved Houston rap music, specifically Paul Wall. So if that means anything to you, that should mean a lot. Just peep the fit, Evan.
That is an outstanding... No wonder you like John Cena. You're wearing his jorts.
I've got jorts down to my ankles.
Yeah, you have capri pants on. Those aren't jorts. Those are capri pants.
Shout out to the fives. I've got the Jordan fives on. I've got a freaking striped shirt with the collar. None of the buttons put up. With a fucking huge-ass logo just chilling right here. It's the funniest thing in the world.
You are clearly throwing up a peace sign, but I thought you were flipping off the camera for a second.
I was like this.
Anyways, here's a little Evan. Just throw that out there for the kids.
That's picture day. You're all nice.
Yeah, I have the forehead of a 43-year-old divorcee, and I'm dressed like a failed piano lounge singer.
Now I have super expensive... fuck, why am I blanking on the turtlenecks, and I've got like pea coats and shit. Like, I dress very nice now. That's true. All thanks to my girlfriend.
I was going to say, there's the trend on TikTok where it's like the girlfriend effect or the wife effect, and it's true. Like, I did it before I started dating my now wife, but it's gotten better since I started dating.
Yeah, so. I now make the bed. Never used to do that. I would just leave my sheets like that because I was like, what's the point? I'm going to get back in the bed.
The bar for men is on the floor.
straight up. Anyways, back to the match.
I love when they have wrestling events in like ballrooms. because it's just, I'm like, you just see, like, they go, somebody goes up to the top rope and you're like, oh, it's a chandelier. Like, it's so weird.
They're about to hit their head.
Like, somebody's bar mitzvah was there on Friday and now you're here doing this. It's just a weird dichotomy. I like it.
Yeah. The old Reseda building for PWG was just truly elite for that reason. Like, I could totally see one of my family members having their wedding reception there.
Yeah, you're like, gotta go to like Nana's 80th birthday there, and you're like, all right, this is nice.
The next day, there's blood all over the floor because Kevin Steen decided to have a match. Anyways, at one point early on here, and just so you know how great of a heel Madison Eagles is, she like gets into the ring and immediately grabs Bryce Renford and goes to the corner where Hamada is. It's just like, what the fuck is she doing? And I'm like, you just look behind them and Sarah Del Rey's biting Kurihara in the corner.
It's really good. It's really good stuff. In terms
they
of
work Kurihara for the first like 7 minutes of this match.
The story of the match, Kurihara gets worked for the first third half.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it's like third. I would say it's like third.
Then there's finally a hot tag to Hamada that lasts a second before she gets immediately thrown in the corner by the heels.
But she does comes come back a little strong.
She does come back strong, but it's one of the more, I love when people subvert little wrestling things just to make things different because we're all so used to the hot tag happens and the babyface goes nuts. We're all used to that. Anytime a babyface gets a hot tag and immediately gets blown up is so satisfying in a way I can't explain. It's just, it's great. I'm like this, it just adds a little variety, a little spice. It's something different.
What a treat.
It's like if Sami Zayn ever wins with a Blue Thunder Bomb, I'm like, what a fucking treat this is for me.
This is great. There's like two people in wrestling that do that move.
Yeah.
And he's one of them. And the other guy uses it as a finisher.
Yeah, and he does it so well.
Does it so well every time. It's really hard to make a Blue Thunder Bomb not look good.
We have had this discussion all the time. Sit out power bombs. It's the way to go.
And it's a spinning sit out power bomb. Like, come on. German from Hamada. Kurihara comes in, hits several drop kicks.
Yes.
Rope assisted arm bar by Kurihara. And I was like, oh, she's with it.
What is your favorite move in this match from Hamada? What's your favorite like thing she does in this match?
Oh my god, there's a
lot. I think it's her suplexes. She has a wide variety of suplexes that she hits.
She just has like a bag. I love her finisher too.
She's got a deep bag. Yes.
We will talk about it, but I love her finisher too. At one point she puts on both baby faces put on octopi.
Yeah. Octopi.
They both put an octopus on both Eagles and Del Rey, which is great. Eagles hits a brain buster for a near fall. My favorite, we can skip towards the end here. My favorite part of the match is actually like the very last like 3-4 minutes where it's just kind of Sarah Del Rey in there pretty much by herself because Eagles has been taken out. And she's just, not only is she withstanding on the offense, but she's dishing it out. She's like hits like a freaking royal butterfly for a near fall in Kurihara.
For those who don't know, what is that? What is that rolling butterfly move?
It's a royal butterfly.
Sure,
it's a butterfly suplex, like
variation.
I don't really know how to describe it.
Yeah. She also has a really good rolling front kick.
It's a double team missile drop kick to Del Rey. Like they both just went to Del Rey for a near fall. Hamada hits a sit out power bomb to Del Rey. For a near fall, Eagles accidentally kicks Del Rey, gets tossed out of there. Kurihara hits a cold breaker and a shining wizard. And then Hamada comes in, immediately hits a spinning heel kick, and Del Rey fucking kicks out.
So, two bits about that little finish spot. One, the overhead Uranagi that Hamada hits before the spin kick is disgusting because she doesn't hit a Uranagi the way that we know Uranagi, which is essentially a rock bottom. She instead like goes clean over her own head every time, which is a lot.
She does the Jay White. Jay White does it, like brings it all the way back here and then drops him.
Also, that code breaker. Hamada had been like knocked to her knees by Del Rey. Kurihara jumps off of Hamada's back very naturally, like, you know, Hardy's whisper or Poetry in Motion style, and hits a code breaker. It's the nastiest thing. It's so good. In that moment, I put Kurihara on our list of people to eventually cover. In that very moment, I was like, that is out.
She's on the list.
Yeah. It's, I'm here with Jericho's list, but it's a good list because we're going to talk about you in a good way.
In a great way.
We very rarely shit on people on this podcast in terms of like in ring ability. It's like Greg Valentine. That's it. It just wasn't
It's usually people that like if someone has
Honky like Tonk a limited Man. That's what it is. Honky Tonk Man. Know, yeah.
A Honky Tonk Man. It's like if someone's pretty limited in their style.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like the inevitable Goldberg episode. I'm going to be shitting all over him. I'm going to shit on Scott Steiner's matches, but I'm not going to shit on Scott Steiner.
I hope you know when we do a Goldberg episode, I'm just going to pull up Bret Hart and call him Bill Goldberg every single time because Bret Hart is incapable of just calling him Goldberg.
And then we get to the finish of the match.
Yeah, so go to finish.
Sarah Del Rey kicks out of the most incredible sequence of moves ever, which I was like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? And then immediately Hamada picks her up and hits her finisher, which is called the AP Cross, which is a fisherman driver. She gets her in a fisherman suplex position, hooks a leg, gets her up, immediately plants her with a driver. It is fucking brutal. Brutal.
But also it's gorgeous. Like, she's really good at it. It's very, very smooth. And Kurihara and Hamada retain the Shimmer tag titles. It's very impressive. Yes. We now go forward to another Shimmer match. And this is one that once I saw that it was online, I didn't care what the backstory is. We needed to watch it. Shimmer 50. It is a singles match, and it's Ayaka Hamada versus Kana, a.k.a. Asuka in WWE right now.
And this is from, what, 2012?
So Shimmer 50, yeah, that'd be 2012.
This 2010 to 14, probably 13, Kana was different, man. Different. Not that she's not as good as Asuka. Like, don't get me wrong. Asuka is incredible. There's just like an extra element to Kana because she's not like limited by WWE style, which is not a negative thing on WWE. It's just like, they are the global force in wrestling, so they can't exactly like let people do some crazy ass fucking things like Kana would do. Kana would kill people. Like, Asuka mauls people in matches, but in a like safe way. Kana would kick the fucking head off of someone if she could.
I'm just like, I just looked at, I pulled up volume 50. I think there is so much value. If I could find just old Shimmer tapes. These are just stacked with people that like were either incredible indie names, are incredible Joshi wrestlers, luchadores, or went on to become like the biggest female wrestling stars. Like, obviously Hamada and Connor in this. In the main event, there's a combination of people. It's a five woman tag, but it's got Mercedes Martinez, it's got Leva Bates, it's got LeFisto, it's got Nicole Matthews, it's got cheerleader Melissa also on the card. Athena is on the card. Yeah. You may
Athena,
know her.
Did she have a feud with Mercedes Martinez yet?
I don't know if it's if no I don't think
I think
so,
2012 yeah. It would have been around that year,
yeah,
but like Athena was excellent at this point. She was just cherry, so freaking fast.
Cherry Bomb, who you probably know as Allie or the Bunny, is on this card, and then you know, Santana Garrett's here, but then a little name, Davina Rose. You know who Davina Rose is? That's Bailey.
Yeah,
Shimmer was slapping in the early 2010s. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's a lot of talent who like were still yet to really fully bloom. They're just trying shit, and it really just comes off so well. Like Shimmer and Shine, you know, as a more modern example, they just it's just so different. It's different, and I highly recommend, like, if anyone like wants to get into like independent women's wrestling in any capacity, like, Stardom is obviously the best place to start. But like, go watch literally any Shimmer from like 2010 to like 2014, 15. If you could just find it somewhere on YouTube, it doesn't even have to be the whole card, just cherry pick matches. They're all good. Like, it's just excellent wrestling because damn, these women knew what they were doing. And like, that's why the women's evolution revolution thing was so annoying, because it's like they have been doing this.
Between Shimmer, Stardom, All Japan Women, the women's independence scene, like, this has been existing forever. And then WWE's like, we invented women. Did you notice? Isn't that exciting? We have four women.
We've got four of them.
We have four.
One of them was on this pay-per-view.
All right. This match with Kana, after our sidetrack about women's wrestling. I'm not going to do justice how cool this match is. We discussed before we started recording the fact that there are three like solid choices for recommendations. My recommendation is this match, but also the tag match and also the Aja Kong match.
And also the next match.
And also the next match is also really cool. It's different, but it's cool.
Yeah. Now, like, it's a who's it? Like, whatever. Pick a match of any of these and watch it. Like, even the TNA match was decent.
It's just a Royal
TV match. It's short, but it's still a good match nonetheless. This, I have condensed my notes for this match, thankfully, so like I can go beat for beat.
Go nuts.
They handshake of respect to start. Yep. Nice German by Hamada off of a leg lock by Kana. And I was like, how the fuck did she do that? Like, I literally don't know how she managed to flip her hips in order to get into position to hit the German.
There are a couple spots in this match where I do not know how they got to the body position that they do. And we'll talk about them as they come up.
I saw a thing, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it would have been yesterday because he had his match against Jay White, where like people were talking about how good Swerve Strickland is in the ring. Like, like his movements.
Yeah.
Like how like crisp and smooth and like how no one moves like him. No one fucking moves like Kana.
No, nobody. She's a wizard.
Still to this day, nobody moves like Kana. She is so different in her movements in as a wrestler, as just a wrestler, period. Full stop. Not even just a women's wrestler. Wrestler, period. It is insane. And she
Kana
was even
catches
back
then. Kana catches a kick from Hamada and immediately is in a full grapevine, like heel lock, ankle lock, whatever you want to call it.
It's like a knee bar, I think.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It was. I didn't know what happened. I literally rewound. I'm like, did I miss something? No, she just manages to, in one motion, get the leg and get the grapevine and be on the ground and start the submit. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
It was ridiculous. Right after that, Kana puts an ankle lock on, realizes that Hamada's about to get to the ropes. So she just hits a German suplex.
Yeah, why not?
Hamada, down, a little down the line, gets her energy back. She hits a German with a bridge. Kana... so she has the bridge on and she's holding on. Kana gets her shoulder, like she kicks out, and in one swift motion flips her hips over, grabs Hamada's arms, puts on a Kimura lock. I was like, what the fuck?
Again, it was too fast. I had to be like, what? Wait, what?
I watched this at normal speed. I couldn't. I felt like I wasn't doing myself justice if I watched it too fast.
I stopped the slowdown. I stopped the slowdown on this one, and I stopped the slowdown on the tag match. So maybe those are my two recommendations because I slowed it down. Kana gets backdrop on the apron. Hamada with a big kick that sends her to the outside. Hamada's up top. Kana meets her, brings her down to the apron instead, and then Hamada does a facebuster onto the apron. The hottest part of the ring. I love when things are done on the hardest part of the ring. It's the hardest part of the ring, did you know? Hamada loves her top rope moonsault. She hits one to Kana on the outside. She actually connects, which is a theme. She doesn't connect on these very, very frequently.
No. She actually does
in these
connect
matches.
This time.
Yeah.
Missile dropkick. Kana fires the fuck up. Hamada hits an enziguri. Kana will not stay down. She keeps returning strikes for everything that Hamada does until Hamada hits a super kick. That the only super kick that I can like reasonably compare to it is when Shawn Michaels folded Shelton Benjamin. Just not in like the aesthetics of it or anything. It's just literally how you fold someone with a kick. Like Asuka or Kana went down.
Kana collapsed. It was outstanding. Hamada gets up and hits the AP cross again.
Yeah, AP cross diamond. It's an AP cross diamond.
Okay.
It's important to know. Is a second one. Oh, that one's a phantom driver, which is what the hell else is it called? Not the Samoan driver. It's
Michinoku.
It's the one that got him in the fireman's carry, and let me just go forward with it. Like the Santos Escobar finisher. That's the phantom driver.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the AP cross diamond. She does that for a near fall. hits a spinning heel kick. Kana kicks out at one.
Yep.
Hits another spinning heel kick, and then tops her off with the AP cross, the fisherman driver. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Hamada wins. What a fucking match.
Hamada wins a lot in Shimmer. If you go back and you look at her like Wikipedia and just read through, she wins a lot in Shimmer. She loses when she gets the title, but they always kept her hot. Like, they always were like, yeah, we'll keep you right there to have a good feud with, like, you know, Eagles, or a good feud with Sarah Del Rey, or a good feud with whoever. Just it was always like, you know, keep you right there just in case.
Yeah, she's good. I mean, that's good. She can get a good match out of freaking anybody.
That's true. Speaking of good matches, we're going to take our last break. When we get back, we're going to AAA for a hell of an ODQ match. Back from the break, we are at AAA. It is the 25th anniversary tour, April 21st, 2017. And it is Hamada versus Taya, a.k.a. Taya Valkyrie, in a no disqualification match for the Reina de Reinas title. Do you know what that means? What does the Reina de Reinas title mean?
It's the women's title of...
But what does AAA. Reina de Reinas mean?
Oh, Queen of Queens.
It's Queen of Queens title.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Was their top title is what? The AAA Mega title?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Vikingo. You know, the Vikingo has that, I think.
So this is part of Hamada's first time back in AAA since 2008. She won the title, I believe, from Taya in her first match back.
First match back. I was like, okay, back in 2008? Jesus.
No. In her first match back, she beat Taya for the title. And actually, it came 18 years after her sister became the inaugural Reina de Reinas champion, which I did not know. Yeah.
That's sick.
So then we get this match, which was their kind of no DQ blow off to the feud.
Hamada's wearing jeans, and she has fully gone Chicana. She's got the tank top on and everything. She, like, has just embraced it. This is no longer a Japanese wrestler.
She kind of looks like she was just told she had to... Like, this is how I dress when I was told I had to show up to the function. You know what I mean? Where it's like we're going to grandma's. I'm like, well, fine, but I'm wearing this, you know, graphic tee I got for in a 5 for $12 sale. At Old Navy. I'm wearing that and my jeans that I use to sneak snacks into the movie theater. And grandma will be fine. There's still sour keys in the back pocket.
And then you get there and grandma's just like, hey, baby.
She's slipping 20s. God bless grandma.
For lollipops or ice cream or whatever.
If the mob really wanted to be effective at, like, just like getting their money out there... Grandmothers are the best, just slipping money. Like, they know. Oh, yeah. And who's gonna suspect the grandmothers?
My grandmother always gives me money. Like, she's like, buy yourself a little treat. I'm like, I have more money than you.
Mine's always that when you get yourself a coffee. I'm like, grandma, I'm 31 years old. I've never drank coffee in my life.
I just give it back to my dad, and then my dad gives it back to her.
Does your grandmother also make you take food?
Not as much nowadays, but she did back then. Because now she doesn't cook for me because my dad doesn't tell her that we're coming in advance.
Oh, mine's not cooked food. Mine's just stuff from the freezer. Mine's grandma's like, yeah, pork chops were on sale last week at the grocery store. So I bought 6 packages. So here, take some. And I try to not take them. And it doesn't work.
No, you can't say no to grandma.
No, it's impossible. Anyways, this match is a hardcore match, and it immediately lives up to the billing.
Yeah, they immediately take each other down. There's trading strikes. A thrust kick from Taya that was nasty. Taya, mind you, this is all happening within the first, like, minute and a half of the actual bell ringing. Taya wedges a chair in the corner and goes for a move. Hamada moves and tosses Taya into the chair into the corner. Taya then kicks the chair out of Hamada's hands when she tries to use it and hits a German suplex. Again, we're like a minute and a half in.
Yeah. Like, Taya actually attacked Hamada during the introductions. Like, that's how intense this was to start. Yeah. Also, shout out to the dude in the La Parca mask in the front row on the hard cam, which might just be La Parca.
Yeah, what if that just is La Parca?
I love it. Like, that could just be, like, it could be one of two La Parcas because we have two. We have a La Parca and an LA Park.
Not anymore.
R.I.P.
RIP to LA Park.
Yeah.
chair shots by Hamada. Hamada hits a headbutt for a near fall. That was stiff. That connected.
Tai is busted open, and Hamada is straight up like biting her forehead to make her bleed more, too, after the headbutt, which is a lot. Tai then gets put in a tree of woe, which I don't know if you know this. Blood flows down, and so Taya, being a tree of woe with her head already busted open a pretty decent amount, immediately becomes Ric Flair, like red everywhere. Oh,
you want to know what's even worse than that? Is the fact that she does that, and she's in the tree of woe. There's blood everywhere, and Hamada comes through and baseball slides a fucking chair into her face.
Yep. This is where I wrote down that I don't need to be able to speak Spanish to understand the word they keep saying, which was extremo. I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Well, extremo is literally just extreme, but instead of an E at the end, there's an O.
Yeah. It's like when I learned that in Portuguese, the word for bank is banco, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
It's like that in Spanish, too. Instead of there's no K, it's a
banco.
C.
Yeah, banco. And you're like, oh. Yeah. We're all lazy. We're like, it's
banco
a bank.
Internacional.
Okay, Pitbull. So Tai is getting worked for a little bit here.
Also, you don't know Spanish, so you didn't pay attention to this. But
you're right.
Commentator, at one point, right after the baseball slide chair with the chair spot, Tai falls out of the ring. And the commentator is just saying, like, Johnny Mundo is not going to want Tai in the house after this. Because of her face being so disfigured. Like, I was like, bro, you don't say that out loud.
He's just texting Johnny like, yo, your wife's face is busted.
Bro, like, divorce her now.
Yeah, dude, start the paperwork.
Taya tosses Hamada into the post, and then she grabs a mini ladder.
She grabs the ladder, and I'm so conditioned by WWE that ladders are like gigantic things that need to reach these giant titles. And
if step ladders.
Yeah, well, my real ladder left when I was 5. But the ladder she grabs, she picks it up, and then there's just no ladder left. And I was like, where's the rest of you?
It's the you of ladders.
It's the me of ladders.
Also, we're recording this in advance, or in a lot of episodes in advance, because Evan has to spend the entirety of December in the North Pole.
That's right. Yeah, I'm busy. Also, why did you all ask for so much stuff?
Do you not have Amazon, you freaking assholes?
Do you know how hard it is to put all the little pieces into your iPhone? Do you know how my fingers hurt so bad?
And he hasn't even left.
Why can't we just add, like, you know, a doll? I can do the stitches. I can make a doll. There's a guy up there. His name's Jeff. He does the Barbies. He's out fucking stand. Just ask for Barbie.
Best in the world.
Yeah. He's the CM Punk of making toys. He's the best in the world.
Oh, so does that mean he just beats people up? Is he what all the drama is about in the
actually,
North Pole?
He did work for the Easter Bunny for a year, and then he threatened the Easter Bunny, and now he works for Santa again. So it's a good
and
situation.
Then he left Santa because Santa wouldn't let him do the Barbies. He wanted him on the Sun Patch Kids.
This metaphor has gone off of the rails. Ty is in charge, though. She has the ladder, sets it up in the corner so it's sticking out like a like walking the plank, and Hamada gets sent face first into it.
That was brutal.
This is bad.
She's bleeding. Hamada's bleeding now because of course she is.
And Hamada's, like, I know that she bladed, but Hamada's looks real. Like, it looks like she got busted open hard way.
She went straight into that fucking
ladder. there's a possibility that she did just get busted open hard way.
Hamada gets seated on a chair. So Taya sets a chair up. Hamada gets seated onto it. Taya then takes another chair, tosses it at Hamada, which she catches. And then Taya boots that bitch right into the into her face.
She Van Damme-ates her, but she's sitting down.
Tough of a look that is, Evan.
It's not
a tough
good.
Look. It's the worst way to get unseated.
There's a spot where they go into the crowd for a little bit. They come back out. They're trading shots from their knees after doing dual face busters. Hamada gets hit with a chair shot. Taya then wedges the ladder from before in the corner. suplexes Hamada onto it so her legs hit it, and then thought it was such a fun experience that she does it the second time. And when you see the ladder, it is legit bent in the middle. Like there's
all that hit was the legs.
All that hit was her legs,
which means her legs hit legitty.
Yeah. Tie it to the top rope for a dive. She misses, and it's funny because if you watch the clip, you can see because of the camera, Taya double check that Hamada is good to move. If you watch the clip when she does that, Taya looks at her and goes like, you know, you can see it on if you're on YouTube with me. She goes like, she just looked at the little double check like you're good, and then
little discount double check.
Yeah, Rogers discount double check. There's no way he's playing this year. Shut up. There's no way.
I hope he does just so he gets re-injured.
I just shut up. You're not doing that. Anyways, Hamada gets a little bit of space there because she avoids the dive. Hamada to the top rope with a chair and hits a chair moonsault for a two, which is a move straight out of your playbook.
I'm not hitting a chair moonsault. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing a moonsault in wrestling.
But you've always said the chair shot off the top rope is one of your favorite.
Okay, this is the most creative chair shot off the top. I'm talking about literally, I'm coming off the top rope. Bam, chair to the head.
This is like your Phoenix Splash. Like you, this is your burning hammer. You bust it out only once every blue moon.
This is my WrestleMania main event finisher.
Yeah, like
Lesnar wanted to do that with the shooting star press, but
like you get up there and you're facing forward like normal, and then you turn around, and the whole crowd's like, oh, yeah,
what's he gonna do?
Hamada then misses the top rope moonsault to the outside because she does that a lot. Taya kicks a chair into Hamada's face. Hamada is selling the ankle because she fucked up her ankle when she landed. Taya gets what I think is maybe the sturdiest looking table I've ever seen on this podcast.
I know. I was like, that is some high quality mahogany, isn't it?
I said, this thing has hosted potlucks. It has seen PTA meetings. Like, it has
had more tacos on that shit than you can count.
And I was like, wow, they're going to try to go through this. Taya is placed on the table. Hamada goes for another moonsault off the top. Taya moves again. And so she goes right through it.
Yeah. And then we get right to the finish.
Yeah.
Taya gets her into the ring. It's like later, like 30 seconds have passed. And she goes for a pin, near fall, obviously. She's selling damages from the thing, but she still had enough time to recover. And then Taya puts what I really can only describe as like an STF.
Yeah.
It may be a variation of it, but it kind of just looks like an STF. She's got that bitch on deep. Hamada passes out. The ref, I don't know if she actually did or not, but the ref stops the match after like a minute because this woman looks like she's turning purple.
And purple's not a color you're supposed to, you know, be.
Yeah.
So she loses the title. She's actually the shortest Arena Arena's championship reign ever at 33 days. It's the shortest in the title's history, which is just a little fun fact.
It got that personal after 33 days?
Yeah, they were not happy. Also, when we're at ringside, just a brief thing, we do see a close-up of the Laparca who was at ringside, and the Laparca is a lady Laparca, so it's not either of our Laparcas.
It's Laparca.
I just knew that the people wanted to know about the Laparca. All right, the only other thing that was on Hamada's Wikipedia is legal issues.
Oh shit.
So Hamada she would return to some other promotions. She would go back to AAA. She's in AAA right now. In May of 2018, she was arrested for possession of methamphetamine. Her arrest resulted in Pro Wrestling Wave terminating her contract, Sunday Girls Pro Wrestling stripping her of the world championship. On July 18, 2018, she was given an 18-month prison sentence, suspended for 3 years. And the same day, she announced her retirement from pro wrestling, hoping to find work as an interpreter. However, she returned to wrestling again in 2019. So I didn't expect that on the Wikipedia, but here we are.
Shit.
Yeah.
Methamphetamine. Bitch.
Not yet. Jesse Pinkman is here. So this was our first time going, really experiencing Ayako Hamada. Thank you, Crispy Chris, for the suggestion.
Yes.
What an outstanding suggestion. If you have suggestions for who we should cover, leave them in the comments, DM us on Instagram, do all of that, because we were happy to cover more of your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah. What but also, you like, be creative. You know, don't be like, do Kenny Omega. Like, no shit, Sherlock.
No, we are. We try to space out the big guys a lot because, you know, that's part of the deal. We're trying to do this for a long time. We are going into year 5 of the podcast, so
yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we've got so, like, a lot of these people still have so many different chapters of their careers to write.
Yeah, we're trying to get people who are close to the end or done. Now, Hamada, what were your thoughts after watching these matches?
Incredible. Just
what a worker.
Absolutely sensational wrestler who can do so many different styles. She can do the high flying stuff. She could do the Joshi style where she's working underneath and then coming through and coming back and being stiff if she needs to be. She can do tag team wrestling to perfection. She can do like technical savant skills, hold for hold. She went hold for every hold for hold with Kana, who is a technical savant. She could do kicks like nobody's business. She can go up to the top rope. She can ground and pound. She can freaking, she could bust out a technical masterclass like she did against Kana, or she can just freaking do a blood fest like she did against Taya. This woman is, I mean this sincerely, one of the most versatile wrestlers, full stop, that we have covered on this podcast.
I want to see every Shimmer match she's ever had. Like, that literally is a takeaway, because I watched two of them, and I think it says she has, like, at least 20 or something like that, and both of them were unbelievable. So I want to watch all of them, and I think you were right in the assessment earlier of, like, what a deep and varied bag. Like, the wrestling from underneath is available. The wrestling as a heel is available. The moveset is varied. Can wrestle a Joshi style, wrestle with some luchadora influence, wrestle with a technical style, like some strong, the stuff with Kana, strong technical work, like very foundational. Dean Malenko somewhere is nodding in approval. Lance Storm is saying nothing because that's what Lance Storm says, but he's happy. Like, that's what they're thinking, looking at this match. And Hamada has just so much skill. Just so much talent you get. And you know what? Sometimes when, you know, you expect the kids of other famous people to not be as good as their parents, and like Grand Hamada, very famous name. And I think Ayoko Hamada doing it justice, doing the Hamada name, like a good service. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's great. I can't good stuff. I can't say any other stuff. Like, we're going to cover her sister probably eventually on this podcast,
who's probably,
ironically the one that I knew. But no, she's incredible. Like, I can't say enough good things about her. It's a shame we didn't get a promo up, but there was nothing available.
There was
literally no promos.
I did some deep scouring. Nothing that was in a language that we speak. Nothing
doesn't have to be.
But nothing really to find. It was just a lot of matches. Yeah. And obviously, some hard to find some matches, too. All right. You should tell us who we should cover. You should go into the comments and YouTube, and you should go on Instagram and Twitter and tell us who you think we should cover next. You should follow us on social media. Javier, tell the people where to follow you.
God damn it. I didn't make the sign again.
You didn't make the sign.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Sauce the boy a follow. Maybe if enough people follow me, I'll make the sign.
Make the sign. Follow me on Twitter at @itsevengomes, @itsevangomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter, on Instagram, @crossbodyofwork. Hey, if you haven't already seen it, go see that reel of Io Sky jumping off the cage with the garbage can.
Yeah, 3 million people have done it.
Yeah, can't go wrong there. For links to all the matches, fullpresswrestling.com has the links for everything. Tons of recommendations this week. Take your pick. Truly, you can't go wrong. Fullpressshop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Hopefully some new merch coming soon to a theater near you. But what a cool Christmas gift for yourself or someone else to buy some of the shirts from the fellas. Also, of course, find us on YouTube @crossbodyofwork. Hit subscribe if you're already watching on YouTube. Fantastic stuff. Like the videos. We're now on the road to 200 subscribers. So, you know, if you aren't a part of the first 120 something that we're at right now, you can be a part of the next ones. We appreciate all the love and support. We got our Spotify Wrapped, like we said. All good stuff. Next week, we start a special little two-part series. We're going to do a two-parter. We're talking about Big Sexy Kevin Nash. We're talking Diesel. We're talking Oz. We're talking Outsiders. We're talking Finger Poke of Doom. We're talking a lot of stuff. Kevin Nash has had a wildly successful and wildly varied career.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's gonna be difficult
to condense it, but we're gonna get some swings here.
We're gonna do some weird stuff in here. But also, Kevin Nash is a dude who, by all accounts, fucking rules. So I'm excited to talk about Kevin Nash.
Yes, Kevin Nash, great views on like everything.
Yeah.
Except for small people. But you know what? We can't all be perfect.
Kevin Nash would not like where I work for the month of December. All right. It is now time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This is a twofer this week. You're welcome. Number one, everybody, it is winter. It is dry. Get yourselves a freaking humidifier.
Yes.
Do it. I have a
second thing to add for your benefit. Clean your humidifier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of the time.
Mine is every Monday. Every Monday I'm like going it in needs there to and clearing it out.
Consistent. Check the filters.
Yes, check the filters. Do all that jazz. I cannot recommend it enough. It is truly life-changing. And we actually, in the bedroom, have two. Like we had an older one that's like kind of small. And then we got one at Costco that covers like 500 square feet and is like really, really nice. So $70.
Okay.
And we've got one in one side of the room and one on the other, and we are thriving. I have not woken up with dryness in my nose in weeks. It's great.
You're living the life.
The second part of this life advice, when you're sick, just like don't die. I don't know. Just, I don't know.
Hold on, let me put this down. Yeah, I need a pen.
When you're sick,
hold on.
Don't die. Okay. DayQuil, NyQuil, Robitussin, cough drops. I don't know, man. My throat hurts. I don't even know what to do with it. My mom gave me these like little Mucinex, like cough drop type things, and I swear to God, I had an allergic reaction to it. I didn't even know I was allergic to anything, but my tongue went numb. It like grew a little bit. It was struggling to suck down air. Pushing it out was easy. Sucking down air, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Don't do that. Don't have that reaction. Do not get those Mucinex cough drops that I got that are like honey flavored. Anyways, take care of yourselves. Get plenty of rest. Make sure you get liquids. Gatorade is a great friend. I'm slowly but surely losing my voice right now, and it is getting more and more labored. I don't know if you can hear it. So, Evan, take it away.
We need to let Javier go home and go rest because he has told us all to buy a humidifier. And let me check my notes. Not fucking die. All right. We'll be back next week to talk big, sexy Kevin Nash. We will talk to you then.